It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power. It's past time for the Hour of Power. It's 7 minutes after nine. I have a lot to do in the morning before I get around to come over here. Got several little chores I do for my husband, and so this morning it just took longer than usual. So I apologize for running late, but we appreciate you being patient and tuning in with us. I'm Neva Pyatt, in case you hadn't figured that out yet, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad. And our sweet sister Judy Gifford is our guest today. Good morning, Sister Judy.
Good morning.
Get up to the
microphone.
How are you? Well, we already talked about that, running a little late this morning. But anyway, God is good, and he's never late.
So aren't we glad?
Oh, I'm telling
Even
you.
Even when he's 4 days late, he's not too late.
That's right. That's exactly right.
He's been late before, according to people, you know.
Right,
but exactly. That song says, though, he's 4 days late, he's always on time.
That's exactly right. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can put it right on our Facebook page. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and we'll pray for those needs. Or you can send it to our texting line, 580-485-0837. There's another way you can send it. You can send it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. Our Facebook sponsor today is Barbara Dyson Ford. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. They've been with us for years and years, and we just certainly appreciate all of our sponsors. We do record in two parts, sometimes three parts, depends on what our computer decides to do that day. We put it over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, after the program's over. So if you have a friend that doesn't have Facebook, you can go there to therockchristianmusic.com, click on the Hour of Power, and listen to the day that you missed or the day that you want them to hear. So there's several ways that you can get a hold of us. I think maybe I've covered everything, Sister Judy. Will you pray to start us out?
I will. Monica and I were praying while ago and talking, and she was saying that her heart is very heavy for people who's lost their spouse. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up to Mother's Day for Les, mm-hmm. and for just all of us who've lost spouses and kids who've lost their mother. And for some of us, it is the first, it's not for me, but for some, it's the very first Mother's Day without mm-hmm. their significant other or their mother or their family member. And then there are others that are just, you've just suffered through enemy coming at us. One of the things I think the enemy's doing it for Christians in this last day is coming at our minds. Mm-hmm. You know, just coming at, the battlefield is the mind. Joyce mm-hmm. Meyer said that, you know. And we've got to learn how to fight those battles if we're going to win, if we're going to have peace, if we're going to have joy. And so I just want us to have a word of prayer, and let's just ask the Lord to help us. Okay. Father, we just come to you today, and we're thankful. We're so thankful, Lord, for you. We're thankful for the power that's in your name. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus that you shed for us, Lord. We're thankful for the resurrection and, Lord, the victories that you accomplished. You took death, hell, and the grave, conquered, Lord, when you rose from the dead. And, Father, today we stand from a place of victory. We stand from a place of joy and contentment because of the peace of God, that you would come in and heal those who are bruised, that you would forgive those who have sinned, that you would help us, Lord, as we call on your name. You said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank you, God, today for the great, mighty sacrifice that you made when you died on that cross. And I thank you that you would help us know how to apply that to our lives and how to apply the victories that are therein to our own lives and how to walk this walk
with victory and anointing. I pray for all of those, Lord, who've lost spouses, all of those who've lost children, all of those who've lost mothers, and Lord, they're facing this holiday without that person. I ask for the grace and the anointing and the peace of God to come upon them, that you will help them know that they're still viable in your kingdom. They still have a plan and purpose, and though they walk through this dark valley, you're going to show them the light. You still have a plan for their lives. You said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Lord, that's each one of us. If we will latch onto that, and if we'll do what the next verse says, come and pray to you, then you will hear us, Lord, and we'll find you when we search for you with all of our heart. Ask for the anointing today. I know I can do nothing without you. I know it's just words that fall down unless the Holy Spirit picks them up and puts them in the hearts of the people. So I ask for that anointing, and that you use me and use Monica, use Neva, and God, that your presence will be here, and that those who are listening, that you will call people to listen and even to listen later that need this word, that you might touch them and be with them. Anoint us today, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woo! Amen and amen. Well, we've gotten off to a very exciting start this morning. God is so good.
He is so good. I feel his presence this morning in this place. And let me tell you, there is nothing to compare to that. Uh-huh. There is nothing, because you can have a troubled mind and stop and pray, and his presence comes, and the worry just goes.
That's right.
You can be as I was after I lost my husband, in a room, sitting on a bed, crying, and everything in you feels like there's some pain you can't even locate, but it's so deep inside, it's physical almost. Mm-hmm. And he comes in the room, and he speaks to your heart. Mm-hmm. And then he told me that day, your husband's very happy. Uh-huh. He's in my presence, and he's very honored for what he did for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. He is happy. Then why am I sitting here crying? You know, then if he's happy, then I want to be happy. Uh-huh. You know, I just miss him. I want to kick his backside because he left me. You know, well, how did he have to go? I talked to the nursing home, got a chance to speak, and I committed to going there on Thursday mornings. And playing some piano and just kind of chatting with them and stuff. So it's been fun. I've been there actually 3 times now. The first time I went, they scheduled me and Beverly at the same time. At first, I'm like, I'm not playing the piano in front of Beverly because she is so awesome. Uh-huh. But as it worked out, well, she played and I sang with her, and it just worked out really good. And it kind of showed me what goes on. But I love those people already. They're just people. Uh-huh. They're just people that grew old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all going there. We may not all go to the nursing home. But
which home is that? Elk City Nursing or Bell Avenue?
Elk City, because the people in the Elk City are friends of mine. And
I see.
And I was just telling them how that happened. As I was just telling my bucket list, on my bucket list, I sit and play the piano at home, and I'm practicing so I get good enough to go to a nursing home and play where they won't go, oh, get her out of here, you know, where they can actually say, well, that sounds good, or that's soothing, you know, or that ministers to me. And so yesterday, for the first time, everything wasn't ready yet, so I just sat down at the piano, and for what, probably 15 minutes, I got to play the songs, and people, it touches my heart, because they walk by and go, oh, that's pretty. Mm-hmm. Oh, that touched my heart. You know, I'm just so thankful, because it's a talent that's been so rusty in my life. I used to play for the church services, but I was like plunk, 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 you know. And so someone said, how did you get so good? One of the ladies that's there used to be in our church, and one of our deacon's wives, and she said, how'd you get so good? And I said, 3 years of sitting at this piano night and day almost. Well, my husband's gone. I've had a lot of time just to sit. I don't have to cook anymore. That cooking was a big deal. When my kids were little, I fixed breakfast before everybody left. We were only a couple blocks from the school, so a lot of times my kids came home for lunch, and my husband was always there for lunch. And then I was there for supper, so I cooked 3 times a day. And then before my son, when he was older, left for work at 10, I cooked for him then. Or I would cook when, you know, he came home and he would eat in the morning. So sometimes it's 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. And I said, could we sell the kitchen? I just don't want this anymore. But now I don't have anybody to cook for. And I have literally almost poisoned myself 3 times. I shouldn't tell the whole world. I did the dumbest thing. I put styrofoam, put food in styrofoam, and put it in the microwave.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know. It's a blonde thing. It's since my hair's blonde. I knew better, but I thought you weren't supposed to do it because it'd melt. So I said, I'm going to just see if this melts. Well, it didn't melt. Then I was eating, and my throat started just pricking and cough. I started coughing, and my nasals started acting up, and I'm like, oh, what is wrong? And then I went, and I cleared everything up, and I ate again, and it started again. I'm going, oh, there's something wrong with this food. And so I looked on the internet. It puts two poisons out into the food, and I'm like, okay. So we had to take care of that real quick and get rid of that stuff, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I ate watermelon that had been there too long. My son said, it seems like there needs to be some supervision over here. I said, I'm going to go to the restaurants from now. I'm not cooking for myself anymore. So if anybody's wanting me to cook for you, sorry. I might poison you. Anyway, I really used to cook all the time. But anyway, it's really hard to cook for one anyway. But, well, the title that we put up there today, and I actually heard a girl named Carly speak and use this. I heard Amanda years ago use this title. But it sounds very vulgar and sounds very bad, but they used it, so I guess I can use it too. Because it's true, because we just think of the F word as just the bad word, you know. But there are F words in the Bible that are good words. Mm-hmm. They're clean words. They're wonderful words. And so I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to talk about these F words in the Bible. So, and one of the big ones, and actually I heard a man preach on this week, is forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness. Do you know if you can't forgive someone else, or you say, I refuse to forgive that? No, that was too bad. I will not forgive that. Do you know that God can't forgive you?
Mm-hmm.
He cannot forgive. It says, unless you forgive, you won't be forgiven. Even in Jesus' prayer, he says, he tells them to pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Mm-hmm. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But you don't think, well, it's evil to hold grudges against somebody? It really is. Because one of the things it does for you is it can cause you actually physical illness. To hold on to it. It's like you've got rusty cans inside. And you know, you put a can in water and keep it there in just some sludgy water very long, and that thing starts deteriorating and putting that stuff all out into the water. And just think of that as in our hearts. It can cause, and it goes from unforgiveness to anger, to bitterness, to self-pity, to pride. You know, I'm better than them. I never did anything quite like that. And so we have to be careful against letting any unforgiveness be there, because so many things spring off of it. And here these rusty cans are here, and out through our mouth comes something, and out up into our thinking. And this just keeps coming from our life. We're going, where is this coming from? Well, I'm going to do better. And we try to cut it off way up here, and we hadn't got down in there and got that unforgiveness out and dislodged it and go, no, you know what? Jesus said to forgive. Well, now, how can I forgive that? That was a grievous thing they did. It tore me up. It hurt my life. It changed my life. It destroyed my life. It ruined me that somebody, it changed everything about my life. Now my life is not what it would have been because of them. How do you forgive something like that?
You know, only by the grace of God.
Yeah, what you do is make up your mind first to do it. I will forgive. Realizing God expects it. And so you go, I will forgive. Now, how do I do it? I do it with my volition, and I make the decision. Now, and like I have said before, that's the engine of this train, is your volition. Your volition's pulling your life. The caboose to this decision is feeling. And it won't come right first. So don't expect it, because sometimes we'll go, well, I haven't forgiven because I can't feel it. It just keeps coming. Well, quit getting into feelings. It's not time to get the feeling yet. You just said here, you're not going to get warm fuzzies the minute that you say, I forgive them, Jesus. And this is the hard part. I had to say, and forgive me for holding feelings against them. You go, what? I didn't do anything wrong. They did the wrong. No, 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 no. What did Jesus do on the cross? He looked down and said, Father. I mean, these people were have mocked him, have put a crown of thorns in his head. They have called him names, made fun of him that he said he's a king. They spat in his face. They slapped him and said, blindfold. They blindfolded the Savior and then slapped him and said, who slapped you? And you know that probably didn't just happen one time. They were beating him up before they took him to the cross. They literally beat his face and said, who hit you? Oh, prophesy to us, you. I can't imagine what he suffered from their hand. They pulled his beard out of his face. Can you have anybody pull your? I've never had a beard, thank God. but pulling your hair, how that hurts. The mockery, the humiliation, stripping him, putting a robe on him, a royal robe, and bowing to him, saying, oh, you're a king. Well, then we must bow to you, King Jesus. And they just mocked him. And then they ended up making him carry his own cross after they beat him. They took him to the cat of nine tails and tied him up. And they took a, I can't imagine, I've never seen one exactly, but a whip that has nine prongs on it. And then when they hit it, it don't just hit you once. It hits you nine places. So that pretty much takes from your head to your feet when it hits you like that. And then historians tell us they have, and preachers I've heard many times say they had bone and metal and other things blended into that. So when it hit you, it didn't just smack your hide. It tore your hide, and it tore out pieces of muscle. So we have a bleeding Savior here who humbled himself. Now just think, he was and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the scripture says all we even had to do was call 10,000 angels when it come to his rescue. And he said, Father, can't go it. Can't do this. Come get me. Then he would have been out of there and we would have lacked a Savior. But instead, he took that suffering. And then the worst thing for him is the only thing he complained about. He didn't complain about them pulling. He didn't say a word. The Bible says he went to the slaughter as a little lamb that gets his coat sheared off that doesn't say anything. Well, the little guy that's getting the coat, the little lamb, he's not in the kind of pain Jesus was. But, you know, Jesus didn't say anything. He may have cried out. I don't know. But he did cry out to God. But he even refused. He refused something that they gave him. I don't know, what was it? Vinegar? They something that they gave him. But anyway, here's the hardest part, I think, for Jesus. It was pain, humiliation, suffering. They said every disease that we've ever suffered was on his body, and he didn't even look human. And when I saw The Passion, I was in a movie theater, and I really wanted to stand up. It was all I could do to keep seated. I wanted to stand up and yell at that screen, leave him alone. Just leave him alone. They mocked him, and yet he on the cross, then they took him, made him carry his cross, and his strength wasn't enough. Someone else had to come and carry it. And then they laid him down when they got there. And they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and put him up as a public example of shame and disgrace and very likely took his clothes off. And he is out there. And it wasn't when we were in Israel, he said more than likely the guy told us when we were looking at Calvary and looking at the hill and there at the Garden Tomb, it's all close proximity to each other. There's a bus terminal under the hill of Calvary right now. But you look up there, and he said, it wasn't way up there. It was down at the bottom of the hill where the roads passed. And they would there. So people walking by could rail on him as well. They could mock him as well. They could see his nakedness as well. He could suffer. But here was the hardest part of all, is because God left him. He had always known that connection with God. That is the most precious thing. I've known it since I was 5 years old. I've known that. And before that, I felt the presence of God around my mother. And when she died, I realized I sensed God's presence. It almost felt like she was still there because I realized that's what I felt around her all my life. And she kept me in church and Jesus came to me. It was a gift almost like from my mother to walk with God. And now I walk with him, and I wouldn't want his presence to ever leave me. But God's presence left Jesus, and he had to know this. He had to know what it felt like for a lost soul to go and be damned in hell and to not have any way to have a Savior. And so Jesus turned, God turned his back on Jesus. And Jesus cried out at this. It's the only thing he complained about. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we've all felt that way, haven't we, at one time? Jesus hasn't forsaken us, and he said he will never leave us or forsake us. But the devil makes us feel like at times, and we'll feel so bad from his oppression or his crap, sorry, that he throws he throws at us. And we feel alone, we feel dejected. And maybe people have rejected you. The world is full of rejection. It starts in school when we're young. Sometimes it started with a parent. And maybe you were given away as a child because the mother wanted to give you a better chance. But somehow, one lady that told me that that happened to her, she was raised by wonderful people, she said inside was still rejection. Someone rejected me. My birth mother rejected me. And I don't say, I know adoptions, I don't mean to get on that. Adoption is a beautiful thing. We have adopted children in our family and we love them and it's good. And it's better for them from where they would have been and what would have happened to them in their life. But I'm just saying this, whether perceived or real, we can get the feelings of rejection. But Jesus suffered that for us, so we don't have to. So we can come to him and say, Jesus, I feel rejected. Jesus, I've been rejected. Jesus, I'm lonely. Jesus, he knows what that feels like. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. He suffered in all points like as we are. And that's what makes him such a great high priest. Because we can go to him and we can pour out our heart. He tells us to pour out our heart to him. And guess what? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me. And I will answer you. And he adds more. He won't just answer us, but I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Oh, wow, people, the power of prayer. Don't forget to pray. When we're trying to fix things, we're just so want them fixed. We're just trying to fix them. We're on the phone. We're everything. Wait. Pray. Mm-hmm. Get somebody by you. Pray. One lady here in the Elk City Hospital was a nurse, and she said, we were on our way to surgery. The guy, we're pushing his bed down the, he was hemorrhaging, and she said, we're hurrying, and his wife stopped us and said, no, I got to pray first. And she's like, we got to get this guy, we got to get him into surgery. And she said, we went ahead and stopped. She said, my gears were running, and she prayed. But when she prayed, it changed. Mm-hmm. And the bleeding stopped. And, that wasn't such an emergency then. I'd imagine they went on into surgery. But prayer is a powerful thing. And if we will make use of it, you say, well, he won't hear me. Hey, get past the condemnation the devil's sending to you and get on your knees. Humble yourself. The scripture does say, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then turn from their wicked ways. Wait, didn't you say they were your people? Yeah, but do you know there are times us people do things that's wicked in the sight of God? Prayerlessness, lack of Bible reading, treating our fellow man bad, getting a bad attitude. There's things that we don't, well, that's not evil. Well, really it is, because we're not walking where we need to be with God. And what's not right in the eyes of God is evil. So what do we need to do? Turn from our wicked ways, seek his face, and he said, and repent of our sins. Then what does he say he would do? He would hear from heaven, and he would heal our land. So if you want what's concerning you healed, we need to pray. Amen? So the next F is freedom. And wonderful things when we come to Jesus is what we're talking about. There is a freedom that happens in your soul. You get set free from all the, I used that word a while ago, but the stuff that the enemy sends your way, which is sorrow, sadness, unhappiness magnified, depression, suicide, all of these things that come at you. Do you know those are evil spirits that come at you? Do you know the enemy comes with a heaviness to set on? Now, there's a time that Jesus will burn your heart for prayer, and there's a heaviness in that you pray it out. Jesus was heavy when he was in the garden, and he was praying, and his heart was so heavy that he bled. The scripture says, as great drops of blood. And there is a intercession and groaning that's a heaviness. But when you pray that through, the joy returns. But we need to get rid of all of the junk the enemy sends and realize, wait, that's not just me. Oh, wait, that's not him. He said that. That's the enemy behind him. and we need to pray it out and then get the freedom of the Lord. Feel his joy. Feel his peace. Feel his, there's a song that says, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. There's another song that says, he brought me out. And the word just said, he brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my heart today. Glory, hallelujah, amen. Come to Jesus and find freedom. If you feel bound, hurt, hindered, depressed, down, then you've got, you're the right person to come to Jesus. And you come to him and call on the people say, run to the mercy seat.